Na 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 sword.
Number 215 for April the 21st, 2016. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like our current police state, information security, and living in denial about what my life has become. I'm more.
All right, man. I'll just go change your status on Facebook. That way, it's true.
Yeah, great.
Changing it makes it true, right?
Wait, I have a Facebook account?
The one I made for you.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you've ever logged into it, but yeah, you have a Facebook account. It's going to be terrifying whenever you apply for your next job. Keep this one for a while.
Now, Facebook already has an account waiting and ready for you with the things you already like and the surveillance footage we've been taking of your home to post online. And God, you could do that. Facebook could totally do that. Just like scrape what you're doing from websites that have the like button, make a profile for you, and then using the various webcams around your home, take
that
selfies for you.
That announcement's coming next month.
Oh, okay, cool. Are you? What are you living in denial about?
Pretty much my life, like you, Mops. You know, I just stick my head under the pillow long enough and go, nah, 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 it'll change, right?
Yep, that's what I'm doing. So. I forgot. I am still drinking Newcastle Brown Ale because I forgot to make it to the liquor store and get something stronger. Madman, what are you drinking? What are you living in denial about?
I'm drinking Kentucky Ale, and I'm living in denial about ever finding someone to care about and love.
Wow.
All right, let's get the ropes. It's time for a hanging.
BSV, drinking, and what are you in denial about?
I'm just drinking water, but I don't know if I can beat Madman's denial, so I'll just deny Madman right now.
Just deny that Madman exists as a person. Nice. All right, all Static.
Right. I'm drinking Curtin Sweeney's Dominican Rum.
Nice.
And I'm living. I didn't know I was living, so how can I be living in denial?
This is not a life. This is an existence.
They hooked me up to all those machines. I'm just a robot now.
You and Dick Cheney.
All right, if you're going to go with the brain in a jar, you suck just like Descartes.
Well, now that we've got a thoroughly depressing opening.
Wow.
Whew, let's make it worse by going into the discussion. The Daily Beast has an interesting article, and then RU sent me another article right after it, which is on the same topic.
It just seems to be a bit of a trend happening. You know, yeah. I'm starting to see the high watermark of it.
So we're going to start with the Daily Beast here. And, yeah, Hillary apparently has a super PAC that's going to spend $1 million to correct commenters on Reddit and Facebook.
No, you didn't mean to make that comment. Let us fix that for you.
Basically. It's like just the opening from the article here. Citing lessons learned from online engagement with Bernie Bros. Seriously, who came?
Bernie Bros?
What marketing asshole came up with that shit? Wow. I mean, really?
They're flaming for Bernie. They're Bernie flamers.
Well, I thought about starting a campaign for Bernie. Yeah, burn something down for Bernie. Feel a burn. You know, burn a national
like
forest.
It. A pro-Hillary Clinton super PAC is pledging to spend $1 million to push back against users on Twitter, Facebook, Reddit, and Instagram. Correct the Record's Barrier Breakers Project boasts in a press release that has already addressed more than 5,000 people that have personally attacked Hillary Clinton on Twitter. Is it now?
How much is a Twitter bot? They can't be worth $1 million. They're just going to have a server farm like, full of Twitter bots.
They're like, I don't know, a couple hundred lines of Python. I mean, they're not. But the thing is, personally attacked Hillary Clinton. Is it really a personal attack if it's on Twitter? I mean, it's not in their face. You can ignore it. There's a block button. I don't know that I consider Twitter insults a personal attack. I mean, I know it's fucking politics, but come on.
I've always found in my line of just hanging out online is that when I get attacked by someone and I shoot back at them, that ends the discussion right there. That person sees my point of view and they just shut down immediately. Nothing bad has ever happened after that.
We need to redirect their Twitter bots to B because I just want to see the retard's flame on someone.
Oh, that would be great, wouldn't it? The PAC was created in May of last year when it was spun off from the American Bridge Super PAC, which is run by longtime Hillary and Bill Clinton supporter David Brock, who also founded Media Matters for America. Some Bernie Sanders supporting users on Reddit are already starting to notice changes on Thursday afternoon. This explains why my inbox turned to cancer on Tuesday, wrote OK Kazari. We need somebody with some experience. Static, can you appropriately compare a Reddit inbox to cancer?
No.
I didn't think so.
And wow, no. That's just all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty poor choice of analogies there.
You know, the person that made that analogy, I hope they get cancer.
I would have gone gangrene.
I would have just used the phrase shit, because that's what happened. Yeah. It was filled up with word shit.
It's called a mail bomb. People have been doing it. My first one I got on an old AOL 3 install, but that's... I mean, shit, come on.
Yeah, but that used to crash your computer. That's what people did that.
Well, yeah, because the memory and the... Anyways, but I mean... Well, actually, you know what? I forgot. Are you...
I have testicular cancer.
You have standing to speak on this as well.
I'd like to dispute that. That was a drunken outburst. In no way have I got cancer or wish to have cancer. But,
You were about to say that was a drunken outburst. In no way do I have testicles or wish to have testicles.
That has been called into some suspect as well, whether I do have a set of balls. At this point, I have to say no. Are you offering to give a testicle donation? That's all I'm asking for. One testicle from two people. Get me a whole
so that way you have a pair? Yeah. You'll be lopsided.
Actually, can I get two from each people? That way I can wear a pair down there and a pair on my ears.
Let's make a necklace out of them, you know?
Yeah.
Go find a couple cadavers.
Like go full apocalypse now. Start making a necklace out of it. You know, living in the jungle.
Just go down to the hospital, find a couple cadavers, and then there you go.
So, user OK Kazari, been a member of Reddit for almost 4 years and never experienced anything like it. You've never been mail bombed before, really. In fact, in all my years on the internet, you've not been on the internet very long. If you've never been mail bombed, you've not been on the internet very long.
He doesn't go to many places on the internet. He stays in his safe space. That's what's going
Reddit.
On.
And I'm just imagining some hipster douchebag in all my years on the internet, starting with Windows 7. Fuck you. You know, people
know,
are like, oh,
well,
I've been on the internet
for
years. I've been on the internet with a fucking Commodore 64, asswipe. Come at me.
Dude, you're not Windows 7, man, on his fucking iPad.
Oh, yeah, my first gen iPad.
Slightly in his defense, mail bombs did go out of style when they upped the amount of RAM in a computer.
That's true.
Now it's not intentional. It's somebody that handles your email server miskeyed something, and every email your company generates gets forwarded to you for some stupid reason.
I'm not going to lie. I've thought about doing that to some people. Anyways, Correct the Record, which has received $5 million this campaign season, has spent almost $4.5 million of it. Yeah, they're wow. That's money well spent, isn't it? They've spent $4.5 million.
So they spend a spamming couple thousand
on social networks.
So they spend a couple thousand making bots, then throw a party with the rest.
God, I hope so, because that would be a better use of it. While Hillary Clinton fights to break down barriers and bring America together, God, the Barrier Breakers 2016 Digital Task Force. Do they have a uniform? Do they have armbands?
Oh, please tell me there's an arm of the cyber police involved with that.
The 2016 Digital Task Force will serve as a resource for supporters looking for positive content and pushback to share with their online progressive communities, as well as thanking prominent supporters and committed superdelegates on social media. They're going to spam the shit out of social media. The Clinton campaign, or, well, their super PACs, are going to spend a sickening amount of money spamming social networks.
Well, and the Ministry of Truth has to do something.
Well, here's the kicker. Due to FEC loopholes, the Sunlight Foundation's Libby Watson found this year that Correct the Record can openly coordinate with Clinton's campaign despite rules that typically disallow political campaigns from working directly with PACs. Super PACs aren't supposed to coordinate with candidates. The whole reasoning behind the Supreme Court decision Citizens United rests on PACs being independent. But Correct the Record claims it can coordinate, Watson told the Daily Beast. It's not totally clear what their reasoning is, but it seems to be that material posted on the internet for free, like blogs, doesn't count as an independent expenditure.
But if you're paying someone to post that free stuff, it's not technically free.
I agree.
Yeah, so if they were doing it independent of your paycheck, they'd be fine. But since they're spending $5 million to have people in Twitter bots post shit, it's not free anymore. It's $5 million worth of crap.
So, but you see, they just spam anybody's making that comment, so it's just their word again.
Yeah, I mean, I don't shy away from politics on this show, and everybody knows I'm not a fan of Hillary, but this is some bullshit. Not only is this a massive waste of money, it's just wasting people's time on Reddit. And in all seriousness, when was the last time anyone seriously changed their mind because they got spammed with messages on a social network on a political issue?
Yeah, never.
We don't live in an echo chamber, dude.
But that's what social networks are. You curate your friends, you block the people you don't like, and you have an echo chamber.
Yeah. I don't know.
And have they pulled up any of these quotes that were factually inaccurate?
I've had discussions with Mad Men where he's changed my mind on certain ways of thinking.
But you're having a discussion. You're not shouting at each other across Twitter.
No, I think the word fuckwit and asshole was used quite a lot.
That's because I'm an asshole and you're a fuckwit.
I know.
You can't have a conversation without those two going by. I admit, I am an ass.
And I'm a fuckwit. Together. With our powers combined.
They're Captain 4chan. Anyways.
I can't see it working. Really.
Just tremendous waste of money.
I think it's just another way of advertising, really. They're getting away around the advertising rules.
like politicians haven't been doing that shit for years.
Well, I think if Hillary's doing it, the rest of them are probably doing it as well.
Oh, I'm sure they are. They're just being less brazen about it.
I'd just like to issue a challenge to get them to change Paul's mind on Hillary. heading over there and seeing how you go. Hillary bots.
Awesome to see. I would love to see the Hillary bots just destroying Paul. That would be amazing to watch.
It would be fantastic.
Oh, her campaign site would die for a week and a half. And then it would start posting child porn and Nazi propaganda.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I can see it going as well, man. After the DOS attack stops.
So, yeah. Oh, go ahead,
I do have to say just one. I do like the ironicness of the campaign being for the barrier breakers by erecting a barrier of spam around the comments they don't like.
Well, that's basically what it is, isn't it? Yeah.
I just like their word in there. But they always word stuff the complete opposite of what it does.
So in the same vein, RU sent me this story on the BBC. Pepper Spray University says sorry for search manipulation. So everybody remembers the, you know, fat cop with a can of pepper spray just walking around just hosing people with it?
Yep, giving those hippies what they deserve.
So Dr. Linda Cotiti admitted that UC Davis, California, brought in a company specializing in what is known as search engine optimization. She denied that the institution sought to rewrite history. Dr. Cotiti faced calls to resign over the 2011 incident and its fallout. Earlier this month, Sacramento Bee newspaper reported that UC Davis hired the PR firm Nevin and Associates on a six-month contract at $1,500 per month. That is expensive. Actually, yep. That's not that expensive for a good PR firm, but that's a lot of money for a university.
It's not $3 million or $5 million.
University was seeking to deal with the. This is also in 2011. Deal with the reaction to the incident in 2011, which students were protesting on the campus university near Sacramento, where pepper sprayed by a campus police officer. Paper published a document which said it set out the firm's proposed strategy. The document read, Nevins and Associates is prepared to create and execute an online branding campaign designed to clean up the negative attention the University of California Davis and Chancellor Cotiti have received related to the events that transpired in November 2011. The document also referred to eradication of references to the pepper spray incident and search results on Google for the university and the chancellor via an aggressive and comprehensive online campaign to eliminate the negative search. So, I'm obviously not saying that people trying to manipulate search results through PR campaigns and just throwing absurd amounts of money and trying to control what's said on social media is anything new. I just kind of wanted to talk about it a little bit, especially with politics.
And it sucks.
Well, I mean, think about it with politics. I mean, one, it's a massive waste of money, especially when you can automate most of that shit. But two, I mean, not only is it going to be insanely ineffective, usually if you're trying to suppress this stuff and people think it's being suppressed, you create the Streisand effect.
Yep.
And it goes viral. So not only are you paying absurd amounts of money to people to try to manipulate the internet, they don't even know how to do it. They're bad at it.
Well, and they're botting kills actual discussions. Now, I don't really care that Bernie and Hillary supporters are fighting amongst each other. I don't like either of them. I wouldn't vote for either of them. But they should be able to have a legitimate discussion over the differences their candidates have and why one candidate sucks and the other one's better, and just counter each other's arguments.
Take flooding your hate it with speech Twitter bots
prevents an actual discussion and a party trying to put together a platform and a candidate that party can believe in.
Sounds a lot like hate speech, Madman.
Well, other than they both suck, I thought it was very reasonable. And I even believe they both suck is reasonable.
These two camps have no logic or reason amongst themselves. These are the ones wanting safe spaces and, you know, segregation for whites and blacks to protect black people from white people again. You know, like, these people are not credible or sane. I'm not saying that I'm credible or sane either. I'm just, holy shit. You can generate this many people out of batshit insane? That's a whole new way of wacky. You know, they're one thing away from, like, having some sort of high five or to identify themselves in large groups.
Nice, are you?
Well, dude,
and I know that part is, I'm laughing at it like it's a joke. It's not even a joke.
You've got to laugh at it, because if you don't, I'm not on my game today. Like, head is killing me. It's just getting more and more insane. And how many more months have you got to go for this election?
November is when the election is finally over.
God, this shit's going to go on and on till then.
Oh, yeah.
I just want it off the internet. We go back to having normal internet for 2 years, and then it'll start all over again.
There's a chance that the primaries for both major parties in the U.S. could drag out until June.
Oh, don't say it's so bad, man.
And then after that, you move into the general election.
It's kind of funny, though, because mathematically, nobody can win the primary except Trump at this point.
I don't think Bernie's been...
Bernie's not going to make it.
Well, I don't think he's going to make it, but I don't think he's been mathematically eliminated yet.
I think...
After the Northeast is done, with the way Hillary's pulling, he probably will, unless he can flip all the superdelegates, which is...
That's not going to happen.
It happened before. All the superdelegates on the Democrat side were backing Hillary the first year that Barack was elected, and they all flipped on her about halfway through. So they flipped on her once. It's possible to do it again, but it's unlikely because it's very rarely that they do that. But Bernie hasn't been mathematically eliminated yet.
Yeah, no, I specifically meant the Republican side when I said that.
Oh, yeah. Cruz is close. I think after Indiana, he'll be mathematically eliminated.
I saw a stat earlier that he needed 101% of the remaining delegates to win.
Oh, I thought he was still in the 90.
I suppose he could probably steal him from somewhere or something.
He's actually been flipping some Trump delegates.
So,
being 101%, you cannot rule that out in American mathematics.
Well,
George
true,
Bush won Florida.
Wow.
You saw that bad, man, did you?
Why?
Come on, dude. Come on, let's just America elect like a czar or some supreme leader. Never have elections again because this shit is just getting beyond the pale now.
Only with Colorado and Florida. And Florida's getting better. And Colorado was only bad this year.
only this year.
What is it? California won't exist after next year. So that'll be a good bunch of crazies gone.
Cycross is voting for Snowden.
I don't know. I like
Rand Paul Cycross. I thought he was pretty cool. He didn't make it anywhere, but I was hoping for it.
All right. That's enough politics. Let's go on to this next story. This is from Bitcoinist.net and is actually all over the place. I just happen to like the ad on this one more than any others because I'm not certain there's anyone who actually looks like that who uses Bitcoins. Anyways,
please say it's a hipster. Either a hipster or Mr. Peanut.
No. The FBI used an invalid search warrant to infect a Tor website with malware. Now, this is interesting because it's okay. So what happened was that the FBI was investigating a child porn site that was running purely on Tor, and this site was called Playpen. And
gross.
That is about as sickening as you can get.
You sure they weren't investigating their own child porn site? Like last time?
Well, this is the one they took over.
Took over? That makes it fucking worse.
Yeah, they took it over, put malware on it, and were trying to use it to track pedophiles. Well, apparently there's a technical issue with the warrant. It was issued by a magistrate who technically didn't have permission to issue that. It should have come from a district judge for what they were doing. So all the evidence on this is being thrown out in court. Now, when it comes to cyber investigations, I'm all for them getting proper warrants, following proper paperwork, especially if you're going to do something as shady as take over a child porn website, put malware on it, and use it to track pedophiles. That's already shady enough.
Pedophiles don't have that right.
Say what?
Pedophiles don't have that right.
The only issue is they're now disseminating child pornography.
Well, not only that, but then all the evidence of what they've collected has just been thrown out because their warrant wasn't valid.
I'm with Analog there on the whole idea pedophiles shouldn't have rights, but if someone... like the government is accusing you of collecting child pornography, man, you should still have the right for a fair trial. Like, because what if you didn't do it?
Well, that's kind of, that's definitely a major concern, which is why I want to see them getting warrants.
Yeah.
Is it's way too easy to accuse people.
Because how long before Hillary's super PACs start just spamming people's inboxes with child pornography and having, you know, Trump people arrested?
Who disagreed with Hillary?
Exactly.
Well, how did they argue that this judge didn't have standing that issued the warrant?
That apparently it was too broad and was above his regional authority.
So they go to like a county judge instead of a state judge, a district judge.
Regional judge is what they were saying. They should have gone to the article.
So the judge they went to just had jurisdiction in one state, and they needed someone with jurisdiction in multiple states.
The article doesn't really go into enough detail, so it's kind of hard to make that claim.
I'm
just going to say that they invalidated the warrant on a technicality.
Like, child predators don't just exist in the United States. Wouldn't you need something that would govern the entire globe so you could after international?
You wouldn't be able to pursue them outside of your jurisdiction.
We can only pursue criminals in the U.S., so we would only need a warrant that covers the U.S.
As long as in that warrant it covers being able to hand over any findings of, say, international to local authorities for them to be fucked up in their country.
You're not protected by the Constitution, are you? So we don't need a warrant to search for you? The U.S., Australia, Great Britain, and New Zealand and a couple other former British colonies have a program called the Five Eyes.
Yeah,
is spying on the other country's citizens to report to that country anything they see suspicious, because you're not protected under the U.S. Constitution because you're not in the U.S. I'm not protected under New Zealand's Constitution because I'm not a New Zealand citizen. It's legal for New Zealand to spy on me, and it's even legal from a U.S. perspective. And New Zealand doesn't need to worry about what they turn over to my government, so long as I can't prove directly that my government asked for New Zealand to spy on me directly. They can just do a generic spy on everyone and then turn over bulk data. So,
and we happen to notice this guy, kind of thing.
Yeah. So the warrant issue, I could possibly see coming up in two ways. If the server itself is in a state, they may have been able to go to a judge in that state and get a warrant, or a judge at the district level that has jurisdiction over that state. What may have happened is they didn't initially know what state the server was actually in. I mean, it is possible to hide those in Tor, right? Am I technically correct on that?
Well, that's the whole idea of hosting it only in Tor, is you have no idea where it is.
So they asked a judge that has jurisdiction over just New York, for just an example. And that server was maybe in Jersey. So instead of asking a New York state judge, they needed to ask a district judge over whichever circuit New York and Jersey are in.
Well, actually, in this case, I think it was that they got it from a magistrate and they should have gotten it from a judge.
Oh, okay.
So, and obviously it's not the first time the FBI has been involved in a Tor breach. So, I mean, I want them to do warrants correctly. I want them to, you know, do this right.
On but this, I could see the argument of a good faith on the FBI's part, because they couldn't know what jurisdiction to get the warrant from with Tor. They could just have an identifying of this server and have whatever way Tor has to identify a server, string name, whatever the fuck, and go at it that way. Hash.
But, yeah, I hate something that is as sickening as a fucking child porn site named Playpen getting off because the FBI fucked up. But, I mean, it also shows that Tor is obviously not if you're depending on Tor for safety when you're performing acts like that,
if you're performing acts like that, just kill yourself now.
Well, yeah, there's that too. So, I mean, I want it to be right.
I want the FBI to appeal and win. Because if they did a good faith effort, then I'm cool with them. They went to the magistrate with the wrong jurisdiction, but they couldn't know which jurisdiction to get.
On a completely unrelated side note, a little 3D printed design I came up with just worked perfectly. I got some tritium vials and they didn't fit the original design I wanted to put them in, so I made my own and it works perfect. Complete unrelated side note. And so we are 32 minutes in. That's a mention of 3D printing for all of us playing the drinking game.
Damn it, I had 31 minutes.
So continuing in the line of, oh my god, you've got to be kidding. This is from Mike.com, Tech Mike. Hi there! An app for stoners will broadcast your location to nearby cops listening. I love the name of this. Hi there. H-I-G-H-T-A-T-H-E-R-E.
The Tinder for Tokers.
Hi there. The Tinder for Tokers is a stoner. I'm trying so hard not to laugh. I almost had Newcastle coming out of my nose when the first time I read this. Is the Tinder for Tokers is a stoner app for finding smoking buddies. When you first download the app and join the network, Hi There asks for your location data and your energy level when stoned, so it can make you it can match you with potential friends.
Oh, fuck.
This data would be a jackpot for police if they could get their hands on it. So if you're one of Hi There's 150,000 users, you might be wondering, is your information safe? Mike reached out to hacking and cybersecurity firm Synac to find out. After just a few minutes, Synac concluded that Hi There Security is student project level. Anyone with knowledge of computer science could use Hi There to find the name, photograph, and smoking habits of personal location of nearby users with ease. I don't know that you need a computer science degree to just join the app, lie to it, and then go arrest the assholes it pairs you with.
I've already got a way of using this. Fantastic.
Don't use it at all.
I'm so fucking signing up to this. I am, inverted commas, not going to lie at all. And it won't be a burner phone. And I may have to purchase a ski mask and baseball bat and then locate the ones in my area that get extremely baked, can't move, and giggle a lot. Knock, knock, kick in your front door, beat the shit out of you, take your drugs and money and whatever else. Thanks for playing the You're Too Fucking Stoned to Save Yourself game.
That is a lot darker than what I was thinking about, which was just these guys getting arrested.
Yeah, I was just thinking that even in states where it's legal to smoke weed, like Colorado, the DEA can still arrest you for smoking weed because it's still illegal. To smoke weed everywhere in the United States.
Well, I'm fucking robbing drug dealers, man. It's fucking serious stoners. Anybody with really low energy levels.
If you wait till after they're good and stoned, they might not resist. You could avoid beating them.
Exactly. That's how I'd be using that app, man. I'd be robbing them. What are you going to do in a place where it's illegal? Ring the cops and say you were just fucking, you know, robbed of your drugs?
But depending on how high you are.
A few of them will and probably have done that already.
I don't know. If they're willing to turn over the drugs because of an Ebola scare.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was amazing. I need you to come here and check my meth. It may have Ebola in mine, sir. You're under arrest.
Yeah, we made that up. Damn it!
Great.
Zika. It should have been Zika. They'd have got more people. Zika has more coverage right now.
All right. Well, let me
smoke weed every day.
And let's move on.
I Okay, out of all the sound clips I'd never pick you having on there, that would be it.
Yeah.
I've never had a call to use that one before.
I never would have thought, like, I would have lost serious money in a bet over that one.
Out of everyone in this channel, I honestly think you're the only one that's never even tried it. Well, not implicating myself or anyone else, but you're very vanilla.
We're just going to leave that comment where it is and, you know, not rock the boat. Just in case anybody has figured out who the hell I am.
Just rocket bong away from that one, whoops. Rocket bong.
Rocket bong!
Smoke weed every day!
Anyways.
Wow.
I think Static just heard it.
Oh, I heard it earlier, but...
This is just better the second time.
Static just took his toke.
Yeah, that sounded like it. Well, can't disprove it.
I got medical reasons to have it.
I do too, but I can't find any chemists that are willing to provide it.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm...
I think we need to move on.
Alright.
Don't post anything illegal on social media. I just want to throw that out there for everyone who's stoned and not thinking right now.
I think we have said that about social media since we started the show. Alright. Next one up is from Washington Post. FBI Director James Comey suggested Thursday that the Bureau paid more than $1 million to access an iPhone belonging to one of the San Bernardino attackers, first time the agency has offered a possible price tag to the high-profile case. While speaking at a security forum in London, hosted by the Aspen Institute, Comey would not offer a precise dollar figure, only saying that it costs a lot to get into the phone. He said the cost of the tool was more than I would make in the remainder of this job, which is 7 years and 4 months for sure. As he made his remark, Comey, a former federal prosecutor who speaks precisely in public settings, positive to consider the math he was performing in his head. So they did the math, and it's more than $1 million. So, yeah.
What level is he paid at?
Level two. He makes $185,100 a year. So, yeah. Comey's remarks strongly implied that the Bureau paid at least $1.3 million to get into the phone. It's just...
Supply and demand. Someone was willing to supply, and they were really, really, really demanding.
Yeah, this is of course, the same iPhone from the fight with the Apple over that bullshit. And, anyways, I just found the number of more than a little staggering.
I think they could have gotten it cheaper.
I think they could have gotten it a lot cheaper. They could have offered Apple the money, and Apple would have sold them something, I'm sure.
No, not after it was publicly asked. Apple would
before
have
they
sold it
tried
for a couple hundred
them.
Million dollars.
They hadn't sued them, if they hadn't done it in the way they did it, Apple would have worked anyways.
Oh, if they didn't do it the way they did it, Apple would have given it to them for free, just for the you're going to leave us alone cred.
Yeah. So, anyways, let's move on. This next one is a bit of a rumor, and it comes from the rSteam and the rBitcoin subreddits. The original story is from April the 21st. According to a report received by PCGN, PC Games Network, Steam will soon start accepting Bitcoin for purchases of all content, though no official date has been set. Apparently, Valve is letting developers know so it can't be far off. You'll be able to buy any of the PC games with cryptocurrency on Steam, apparently. We are excited to announce that Steam is going to start accepting payments via Bitcoin, says an updated post to the official developer forums. We're using an external... Excuse me. That must be something to sneeze at. We're using an external payment processor to process Bitcoins to help partners reach more customers on Steam. Bitcoin is becoming increasingly popular with online payments in some countries. We're enabling a system that insulates partners from risk and volatility while providing value to the end customer. So it looks like Valve is setting up a partnership with a third party to process payments made by Bitcoin.
And how are they insulating themselves from volatility?
They're putting a middleman in there.
Are they going to insure against it?
It says at no time does Valve receive or hold Bitcoin. So they're going to have an exchange just kind of built in where you pay the exchange and the exchange pays.
So they're not holding onto the Bitcoin more than a trading day.
Yeah. So Valve goes on to reiterate there's no action plan required on the part of the developers, although there doesn't seem to be a way to opt out for developers at this stage. No need to set a Bitcoin traffic valuation. Yeah, so they've got a partner coming in who's going to basically accept the Bitcoins, and then you'll get Steam credit that you can use to buy things.
And then the partners for Steam are just going to get cash for their games.
Well, at that point, they exchange the Bitcoin, you know, either on another exchange or... Yeah, the partner will give Valve cash, yes. So, it's interesting. I mean, it's a rumor, but it is an interesting thought.
And I could see the partner making money similar to the way MoneyGram and Western Union does for international trading.
Sure, they just take a cut.
Oh, no, it's not just a cut. Currency rates fluctuate from day to day.
Oh, so they manipulate it and then set a standard rate, yeah.
And they're able to keep a little bit of proceeds from a lot of their international transactions just from the manipulation from dollars to whatever currency or from whatever currency to dollars. And
so here,
Bitcoin
yeah.
could operate this Bitcoin exchange would operate similarly.
I wonder if it would stabilize the price of Bitcoin to actually have something that people are buying consistently. Because you would kind of stabilize the price on whatever that exchange is setting it to, as long as they don't set it to something astronomically out of whack with the rest of the market.
Well, if it starts being used as a currency instead of
a commodity,
it's going to stabilize somewhat, because that's what makes a currency, is it has stable value. That's one reason a lot of people are starting to argue that a lot of modern currencies like the dollar and the euro aren't truly currencies, because their values aren't stable over a long period of time.
I gotcha.
It's over a longer period of time than Bitcoin, but if you look over a few decades, the dollar hasn't been stable.
Cool. So, I don't know. I just thought that was an interesting rumor.
I think it's cool. It would actually get Bitcoin being used.
As opposed to people treating it like a... yeah, a lot of people treat it like a... what's the word, man?
BSV was right. It was a commodity. They're treating it as a commodity like gold or silver.
You know, actually turn it into money, which is what it was supposed to be. So,
it'd be better if a government actually started getting into crypto, just so that it's harder to manipulate their own currency.
Well, I don't see any government in their right mind ever doing it, because then they can't print more when they want it, unless they control the mining as well.
That's the whole reason they moved away from the gold standard, is so that they could bribe us with our own money without us knowing it.
Alright, next one up is from Torrent Freak. Kim.com is warning users of Mega, the cloud storage company he founded in 2013, to back up their files. According to the entrepreneur, Mega is now under the control of Bill Liu, a New Zealand-based Chinese national that is currently fifth on China's most wanted criminal list.
What is he most wanted for?
I don't remember if the article said or not. Let's see.
His family is related to the family that was previously in charge of China. And okay. The guy who is running the country at the moment issued, I think it was something like 75 most wanted warrants internationally for people, and then he's just executing them.
I was about to say Taiwan is on China's most wanted list simply because they're all expats that founded a better country than China turned out to be.
Well, the guy, I can't think of his name, who's running China right now, his dad was ousted as the president at one point. Anybody that went against his father and their families is being executed. He may not have done actually anything, but he ran to New Zealand knowing that he was going to get executed if he stayed around.
The reason I was asking is whether there was any need to panic that this dude owns Mega Upload.
Well,
they'll get him eventually.
Yeah, if they get him, they'll shut down the company to do it. So
it's not him fucking with anyone. It's China may attempt to crush that company because he's involved in it.
So
they just want the guy, man. Like they did it here with. They said this guy, Chinese national that was living here in Australia. He was running a little like convenience store in North Melbourne. They said he stole billions of dollars. Yet there was no actual evidence of him stealing billions of dollars. Yet they deported him, and lo and behold, he's dead.
Whoops.
Yep.
So in 2012, combined effort by the United States and New Zealand's government brought Kim.com's Mega Upload empire to its knees. Coordinated raids in multiple locations carried out by heavily armed officers ensured that a clear message was sent to copyright infringers that they will shoot you in the back of the head. Despite the overwhelming show of force, .com refused to lie down, and just a year later, he had founded a new file hosting site simply known as Mega. The platform launched to great fanfare in 2013. I actually found, going through some of my backups the other day, the old Mega Upload song. It was terrible. Mega quickly became a force to be reckoned with in the hosting market, with .com promoting the platform at every turn. Nevertheless, controversy was never far away. In September 2014, Mega was branded a piracy haven in a Digital Citizens Alliance report activities of shadowy cyberlockers. Direct consequence from pressure in the U.S. government, 2015, PayPal stopped processing payments for Mega. Behind the scenes, matters were worse. In May 2015, Mega's bid for a stock listing fell through, and 2 months later, .com's earlier praise for the company turned sour. Mega has experienced a hostile takeover and is no longer in control of people who care about internet freedom. Now, the New Zealand government and Hollywood have seized a significant share of the company, .com told Torrent Freak. The combined shares seized by the New Zealand government and Hollywood were significant enough to stop our listing on the New Zealand Stock Exchange. He had already resigned as director of Mega in September of 2013, but he now publicly warning people against using the site. Mega had to survive without a credit card payment processor for almost 2 years now. The air is getting thin. Back up your Mega files, he told users via Twitter. So, yeah. Back in 2009, Liu made headlines when it was revealed that despite being wanted for fraud in China, he was granted citizenship in New Zealand. It's been revealed by Kiwi Prime Minister John Key that Liu is ranked number 5 in China's top 100 extradition list. They also put out a worldwide list of top 100. He's number 5 on it. New Zealand police have already seized millions of dollars in assets that they believe belong to Liu, including some held in Mega, although Liu denies all wrongdoing. .com remains unconvinced. So, and then Mega State Chairman Stephen Hall put out a statement. Mega has significant funding and strong support from shareholders, so its financial position is certainly not precarious. .com's comment is factually incorrect, and the motive is unknown.
So if I heard that right, Morps, New Zealand, the actual country, has a stake in Mega.
Yeah.
Mega. Okay, but Mega is a home and haven for pirates and villains and scum, right?
Something like that.
But the country, you see where I'm going with the logic?
I'm not disagreeing with you on the logic either. That's the funny part. It's just like, this is messed up, man.
Hold that thought for a minute. So that comment is from .com himself, saying Mega experienced a hostile takeover and no longer in control of the people who care about internet freedom. The New Zealand government and Hollywood have seized a significant share of the company. However, Hall, who is the chairman for Mega, says that .com's comment is factually incorrect. So that's a comment that's not correct, or at least is being disputed.
I think they're disputing the part that Mega or that .com is claiming Mega is going to go under soon.
doesn't state it necessarily one way or the other, but
yeah, it's confusing. And and if you have anything in Mega, it's probably, honestly, in any cyber locker, not just Mega, Dropbox, Box, Google Drive, what's the Microsoft one, Cloud Sync, no, whatever Apple's is too. I should know these. I don't remember all the freaking file lockers on other. Anyways, if you have anything in sites like that, you should have them back up anyways, because you never know what's going to happen with these things. And even more importantly, if you've got something sensitive in those things, they should be encrypted before you uploaded them, because otherwise you might as well just be advertising. So, OneDrive. Thank you, Sacros. And, yeah, iCloud or whatever it is for Apple. But yeah, anything you have in those, you should have multiple backups of. But in any event, yeah, Mega's, it's never exactly seemed like a fantastic place to keep your stuff anyways. So, but if you wanted to distribute large files, it seemed like a good idea. I've never liked their interface. Has anybody else ever used Mega?
Yeah, I don't like it.
You mind it?
I used it to watch stuff.
I liked it when it was Mega Upload.
Yeah, I mean, but the way it has to download things in the browser's cache and then copies them off, that's weird. I wish it would just stream the file as opposed to going through this weird-ass JavaScript interface it does. So.
The original incarnation of it, Mega Upload, was better. You just upload your file, you copy the URL, send it to the person you want, and they could just download it from there. It was easy.
Go ahead, Zach.
I was just going to say, it looks like back in July of 2015, .com was quoted as saying the company has suffered a hostile takeover by a Chinese investor who is wanted in China for fraud. So this is an old story. Why is Torrent Freak producing crap?
I don't know. They're usually better about that.
I think it's because the warrant just came out for him.
Well, no. I think it's because .com just now tweeted, "Take, you know, copy your shit out of Mega," because he thinks it's going away.
Maybe.
So, anyways, next story up. We don't need to really go in depth in it. The guys who wrote SpyEye, the banking Trojan, just got sentenced to 24 years in prison. Two men who built and sold a banking Trojan that infected more than 50 million computers around the world and caused almost $1 billion in losses have been sentenced to 24 years in prison in Russia. according to the Department of Justice, the chief developer received 9 years and 6 months in federal prison and underground forms the Trojan was sold. They extradited him to Atlanta. That's not nearly as bad. I thought they were getting 27 years in Russian prison, not American prison. So
I wonder how many Russian spies they had to give back to get that guy.
Probably a lot.
Because it wouldn't have came for free, I'll bet that.
So, that or they managed to... The arrest came as both men brazenly traveled to places subject to U.S. law enforcement extradition. Bin Ajad was arrested in 2013 at Bangkok's airport as he was on his way from Malaysia to Egypt. He was extradited May that year. Pan, whose country of origin has no extradition agreement with the U.S., was arrested 2 months later in a stopover at the Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport in Atlanta.
So, why the hell do you go through a stopover in a country where you have a warrant?
Because they probably didn't know they had them. Seriously, I doubt they knew that they had warrants out for their arrest.
Yeah, I'd say you're right.
So.
Okay.
You may have a warrant you don't know about, Matt, man.
No, I'm good. I only have 3 missed court dates, and I didn't have to show up to those.
No, he's talking about that warrant you have in China.
Oh, that one. Okay, then yeah,
you may be wanted in the UK.
Oh, I'm sure I am for hate speech, free speech, probably.
Oh, yeah, hate speech? Canada's got Canada can get me on their free speech law. If anyone's listening in Canada, I love Canadians. Fuck the Canadian government. At least when it
Canadian
comes to free
prisons
speech.
Are awesome. You don't get raped. Not like American prisons get raped.
All Canadians can suck my balls.
Okay. Obscene Sard, you don't want him sucking your balls.
That would be the major.
Okay, still
I'm
Sard,
tell
Sard still
we need to make sure we tell Sard that Madman confused him for a Canadian.
That is a great one.
Hey, soft on guns.
Oh yeah, socialist. I was meaning Suave Lemon, not Sard. Oops.
So, I mean, you know, the dude's 8 feet tall. You'd have to stand on a table or something. I mean, anyways, final story up is from Extreme Tech, but this has been all over the place. For years, Apple QuickTime has hovered between a new system installed bundled iTunes and a necessary application for various third-party software tools which rely on QuickTime for audio and video. The U.S. government and Trend Micro are both recommending that all Windows users uninstall QuickTime immediately thanks to critical vulnerabilities that Apple has no intention of fixing. And Apple hasn't really been maintaining QuickTime for Windows for years, so it's no surprise. Trend Micro's zero-day initiative has released advisory ZDI 16.241 and 16.242, two new critical vulnerabilities affecting QuickTime for Windows. These advisories are being released in accordance with Zero Day Initiative's policy when a vendor does not issue a security patch for a disclosed vulnerability, and because Apple is no longer providing security updates for QuickTime on Windows, these vulnerabilities will never be patched. There's no active attacks against them, but it's basically drive-by downloads using QuickTime videos instead of PDFs, basically. So, And U.S. CERT has put out its own notification, basically telling everyone uninstall QuickTime now if you're on Windows.
Well,
of course, now here's the thing, though. If you have software that uses the QuickTime encoder, like a lot of video editing software, you uninstall it, you break your video editing software, and a lot of that shit ain't cheap.
No, so, it's not.
That becomes a bit of an issue.
So, well, take your chance.
Take your chance, or you know, practice better usage of your computer. Say, setting up browser jails or virtual machines to do your web browsing in, especially when you're not certain what you're going to be doing. Or, you know, maybe even setting up separate machines. You don't do your banking on your video editing rig. Just a thought. So, anyways,
is there a way to pull the QuickTime libraries without actually having QuickTime on your machine?
Probably. I'm sure there's a way to grab the DLLs and just not have the program. But, yeah, they said be careful that if you can't uninstall it, be careful to avoid backplaying any material you can't authenticate. With QuickTime for Windows being phased out, it's important to find the alternative software for the long term. Well, you know, actually, that's a good point on the libraries, Madman, because I think there's QuickTime plugins out there that are part of things like the CCP and some of the other codec packs. I wonder if those are vulnerable too. I imagine a lot of those codec packs probably just lifted the DLL right out of the QuickTime player. That's an interesting thought. Huh. Don't know. So yeah, be careful with your QuickTime videos.
You know, just checked. I don't have it installed.
I don't think well, I've got iTunes installed, so it's possible. Perils of having an iPhone, right?
Oh, that would so suck if it switches over to iTunes.
Oh, if it breaks iTunes, uninstall it? Yeah. I get a lot of people pissy. So, I don't think
I think their support for Windows would come back.
No, I don't have QuickTime installed either. I don't know when they drop support of it, but yeah. So, anyways, let's move on to this. So I got two things up for Digital Dojo today. First one is a cool white paper from the NCC group. It is specifically on hardening Linux containers, things like Docker and LXC. This is very important for the next thing in Digital Dojo, but also because you see a lot of tech hipsters, I mean, people who adopt new technology in production way before it's ready. I mean, you see a lot of people using Docker. And I'm not dissing Docker, really. I'm dissing the way people use Docker. You know, where they spin up virtual machines and then put Docker inside of containers and virtual machines and other stupid ass shit. Yeah, so Docker, LXC, CoreOS, and other container platforms are beginning to change how Linux applications are deployed and even how data centers are architected. These platforms offer security isolation and application containment while improving resource efficiency over full virtual machines. In general, this operating system virtualization via Linux containers is an attractive feature for efficiency, speed, and modern application deployment. However, many would-be adopters continue to question the security of these technologies or platforms. Linux containers offer segmentation via kernel namespace, resource control via C groups, and are often secured through reduced root capabilities, mandatory access control, and user namespaces. The white paper they posted starts off exploring the various motivations behind Linux containers, how they compare to the virtual machines and modern general-purpose CPUs, blah, 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 blah. And after exploring container basics, threats, and security features, an overview of Docker, LXC, CoreOS, RKT is included. The overview concludes pretty much if you're interested in containers on Linux at all, Docker or LXC, or also Ubuntu's new packaging, this is a good read. Guessing nobody has any thoughts, because nobody else has messed with this stuff or even knows what I'm talking about.
Nope.
Nope.
I messed with it.
Nope. All right. Fair enough. The new Ubuntu came out today. 1604 LTS. And that's item number two here. There are some nice... there are some nice features in it. Specifically, they've got their new package manager called Snaps, which is alongside... .deb, and again, nobody knows what I'm talking about here. Linux, Ubuntu, and Debian specifically have always used package files to deploy new software. And you know, on Debian-based systems, they're .debs, so that's your Ubuntu, your what Debian, obviously, and a few others. And then anything derived from those guys, which is a good chunk of Linux. Then on the other side of the, you have CentOS Red Hat-based systems, which use RPM. Then you have things like Arch, which uses their own package manager. Gentoo uses their own package manager, and so on and so forth. And SUSE actually uses RPM, if I remember correctly. Anyways, doesn't matter. So Snaps is a new one. And Snaps is interesting because they're kind of trying to copy the way applications are distributed on Mac, where they're kind of wrap-ups of a whole folder with statically linked libraries, so they're supposed to be kind of self-contained and have less dependency issues at the cost of being bigger.
Okay.
So, it's interesting if you're into this kind of stuff. And they've got their updated LXC hypervisor, and the other big one is ZFS on Linux, which I'm guessing nobody else knows what I'm on about with that either. What's it you usually say, Static? Wrong crowd.
Yeah.
Yep, I don't even remember. Sword and Fox, they
yeah.
play with Linux.
Yeah.
Good topic, wrong crowd.
So ZFS is a very mature data center scale file system that does versioning, snapshotting, all kinds of cool stuff. And it's been on Sun systems, Solaris systems for a while, as well as a few BSD-based stuff. But the open implementation of it for Linux has had licensing issues, and they haven't been able to make it work right. And that's where... So instead of getting ZFS... You know, that's where a lot of them started working on ButterFS. And But apparently Ubuntu is supporting ZFS now. So I don't know if they resolved the licensing issues or just said the hell with it and included it anyways. So... you know, if you're a hardcore free software guy and won't use software that's not free, you probably weren't using Ubuntu anyways. They also disabled in the Unity search the automatically searching online for shit. So that's off by default now. And you can move the dock to the bottom of the screen as opposed to only on the left of the screen. Nobody cares. No?
Not really.
Alright, well...
Crickets.
Until I can start playing video games reliably, I won't care about Linux. I hate to say it. It's the truth.
So... Yeah. Huh. So I have a cricket sound effect loaded, but it's a...
The crickets die.
Yeah, it's not really loud at all.
Oh, you should so just play the Let's All Get Stoned thing.
Smoke weed every day!
Every day.
Every day.
That's all I got. That's all I got. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Peer decking every Thursday. Are you and Laura going to keep up with that thing you were doing? Or
yeah, messing around. I'm just getting too wasted on the show.
Oh, okay.
If you want it, yeah, because by the last half hour, man, I'm trailing off. You know? It's, all right. Man, we don't go to air till like 11 p.m. at night, you know, my time. And it's first thing in the morning for him, so he's brightening up, and I'm just finishing the night off. So... I don't know, we might play around with the time schedule, but there won't be this week because I've got to go out of town. So
you need to find some way to have... Oh, here's a thought. You know what? That's a terrible idea. I was going to suggest you record a sentence, send it to him, he records one back to you, and over the course of the week you build your show. That would take for fucking ever. Never mind. It's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
So... Of course, follow the Galaxy 15 radio site, Twitter handle, feedback forum, subreddit. Whatever. That's all I've got. Anybody got anything else they want before we close out the show?
No, I think that covers it.
Smoke weed every day.